Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. We're in the Josephine County Board of Commissioners General Discussion in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. All three commissioners are present this morning, and it is 9 o'clock in the morning. Our agenda today has four items. We have Community Development Director position, then the Western Interstate Regional 2019 Conference, Parks Liaison Reports, and then additional matters and subjects from commissioners. So we'll start off with the Community Development Director position. I assume this is you, Commissioner Fowler?
It is, and JJ from HR has asked that we put this on the 2 o'clock meeting because he had double-booked and wasn't able to make it, but he has some concerns he wants to express. So
we're going to move that to this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll go on from there to the Western Interstate Region Conference in Spokane, Washington. So I asked for this to be listed. So natural lands and land issues are often discussed at the Western Interstate Region. It's kind of the big conference that NACO puts on. It's an association within NACO that affects all of us that have BLM lands, essentially. And when 68% of our county is federal, it is impacting us. It is a conference that Simon and I went to in 2017. I think only Simon went last year. It was, I don't remember where it was, this year's the one is in Spokane, Washington. There's a couple topics coming up that are of impact to us. One of them is waterways of the United States. There's a movement right now to change the definition of waterways of the United States to be more restrictive. And the public comment period is opening up. Matter of fact, I'll forward to each of you an email of a conference call that's coming up that might give information on the water stuff that AOC is following. But the Western Interstate Region, I thought at least, Dan, you probably...
Did you attend that, the water deal at AOC this last time? Mm-hmm. Oh, it was interesting. All right, I'm not her friend, and she knows it.
Who's her?
I've got a card.
A state representative? Or?
A state person.
Yeah. Got it.
I said, you don't know how many times you've contradicted yourself. You call it a drought, but you won't let Mark Owens dam up a drainage on his own property to save water so he can water his crops in the spring. So you call it a drought. You've removed all the dams on the road. I said, I'll give you, I named all the John Boyle Dam. I said, all the dams, these are the dams you're taking out, and you're taking out two more on the Klamath River. And you got Donnie Boyd right here, Commissioner Boyd right here in the Klamath, fighting for every drop of water you're getting, yet you're going to take two dams out for him. Whose side are you on? Well, I said, I'm going to give you a card. I said, I'll give you my card so you know who you can hate. But you and I are not done talking.
So you want to go see that person at this conference?
Well, no, this conference is all land stuff for right. Western Interstate Region, essentially everything west of the Mississippi. And what we find is natural lands is a major thing. So, Dan, I think it is one that you would find appropriate since you're a liaison for natural resources.
Can I ask a question, though?
Oh, of course.
It says here, since 1978, WIR has worked within NACO to promote. What are their successes? I need a list of their successes.
I couldn't tell you.
See, and that's what I'm going to ask of them. Where have you really made any difference? Because it says here, sustained yield on public lands. We have gotten no further along the sustained yields on public lands yet.
Yeah.
So where do they stand on? Where do they stand on ONC?
So
what
this
are they
is
doing
where
to help ONC?
ONC goes to this, but this is bigger than ONC. ONC mm-hmm. is only the 18 counties in Oregon.
Right.
This handles the 18 western states. Okay. So it's bigger than that. They have fought to continue PILT and SRS. They're looking at Wyden stuff. Darren, I honestly think it would be a good one for you to go to as well. Mostly just for getting the information. It's in Spokane.
It's in May, too, which is probably, we'll probably have an answer on our act by then.
Right.
Well, I just want to make sure that I've got a bag packed at home, and when Rob Bovette calls and says, you need to be here in 3 hours, I'm gone.
And Rob Ovette will probably be here, or half of AOC. So it would be worth reaching out to some of your AOC folks and seeing.
I will. I'll call. I'm going to get a hold of some AOC folks that have been to this to see what they think of it.
Do you want to register and back out? Or
That probably would have to register
and back out if it comes to that.
We're almost in February. Yeah. Register, because you can always unregister.
Well, and I found value in not being the natural resource person a couple years ago. One of the things that was brought up at the one I went to that we still need to follow is FEMA floodways. And it affects where you can build and all. It's not just natural resources, but it's things that are affecting all of us. And so I found value in it 2 years ago. And I found the value in, it was interesting because the speaker at the end of the conference was the judge where the Harney County refugee stuff happened. Mm-hmm. And he spoke to that experience, and I had a chance to speak with him one-on-one afterwards, which of what we were kind of facing down here. And that was interesting. But anyhow, I just want to make sure that as I'm aware of this stuff, that you guys are becoming aware and getting in the... There's three NACO conferences a year. And in March, beginning of March, there's a legislative conference where you go to D.C. and you're advocating with the legislators and you're doing legislative voting on what you're going to support as an organization. Then there's Western Interstate Region that takes that natural land stuff in May. And then in June or July, they have the annual conference where they vote on stuff as an association. They have other subtopics and health and some other stuff like that, but these are kind of the big three that they have every year.
Well, I'll follow through on it, see if I can get some information. Yeah.
No worries.
It overlaps with County College on the last day of that conference is the first afternoon of County College, so I could hit that on the way home, but
well, you probably don't know if you would experience. Drive up and then fly out of up north so you don't have to drive so far. Spokane's a long drive.
It is probably 8 hours past
Portland?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, and so depending on where County College is, I mean, if it was Salem, you might fly out of Portland to get to Spokane and back quicker.
It does say Salem here, so.
But I do also know that, I mean, there was a lot of AOC people at the one I went to in 2017. Now, the benefit of the one I went to in 2017 was it was in Bend. We hosted that year.
Oh, yeah, so it's a lot closer.
So it is similar to all the other conferences as far as sessions that you pick which ones you go to. They have tours.
I get all of that. But what I want to do is I want to find out what their successes are.
Yeah, and
is it a bunch of people just sitting around going to a conference and the same stuff over and over? I don't know how many wildfire breakout sessions I've gone to, and the question Q&A at the end is the exact same thing every time, but nothing ever goes any past that room. Where does it go? And what are the successes? Is anybody out there listening?
Why don't I get you Gordon Cruikshank's phone number?
Do that.
And see if
just
you can
email it to me and I'll just read it.
Yeah. So Gordon is, he was the chair of WIR last year.
Okay.
And, I'm a fairly new commissioner and I've been told that this is something I should be aware of. Why should I?
Yeah.
And see what he says.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to
tell,
be. But
tell me why I need to be there.
I just want to make sure I got the email about registration.
Okay.
I don't want it to be off your
Thank
radar.
You.
Okay. Parks liaison reports. It looks like, I hope, do I just have the pack or do we all have the pack?
You all do.
I'm hoping we don't do that every time. Let's not copy every advisory board minutes just because that'll be a lot of paper every week that we're going through, right? Because I read
some advisory board minutes on my computer this morning.
Good job.
Good job, little buddy. And this is just the...
Am I absent at signing on this because I was gone at a weekly business session when it was approved? I'm stamped. Oh, no, Simon stamped is absent. I just can't read the order. How do we do this? So essentially this is our first stack of getting through some backup ones.
So Trish read them, so she can give you a brief overview of how they go.
And I'll get through all of them.
Yep.
And
is it effective without department head here?
Yes. We don't need the department head to give us the summary.
Okay.
But you're going
to
find
I wasn't able to make the meeting either. We were at AOC Monday.
Well, this is several months worth. So we got October, December, January, February, April...
This
2017
is the
backlog.
April,
so to June. Okay.
Well, then we should see what Trish thinks of these.
So if we're up to date on it, it's only a two-pager. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind getting it every time if it's just going to be a two-pager.
Once we get up to speed.
Once we get up to speed.
This is a culmination of a bunch of months.
Years
worth, that's fine. Yeah. I think it's just a step forward that, you know, we were way behind. This is good.
Yeah. No. This is just one topic.
Yeah, no, but this is good in comparison to some of the stuff we got going out there. But I think if we get it, once we're up to speed, I don't mind going through there to see where the White Horse Park Master Plan was reviewed, so on and so forth.
Well, should we invite Trish up to
summarize? So I think what we had said we were going to do last week is that the liaison would present on them, but in this case, the liaison's new.
Right.
So I can tell you, just reading the first one in October, it's kind of curious looking at it because it says that Sarah discussed bringing camp reservations back in-house. Currently, they're outsourced to Reserve America. Well, we've done that. We've brought them back in-house, and that's been a good thing so far. But it is interesting kind of looking back to kind of the history of... Because by the time we got to June, the next 3 months of Sarah's time was the fires and the evacuations involving our parks through the summer. So it's kind of interesting.
Sure.
Trish, if you want... I mean, if that's what you guys want her to give an update, otherwise I feel like I could just read through them.
I could, but for information, I'd like to hear what you gleaned. Because I still want to go through this, but...
Okay, am I coming up?
Yep.
So I only read about six of them. But I think I was reading them out of order because I thought they were all from 2018, but I guess they were. Some of them are from 2017. I think the most recent thing that you guys had action on in the WBS was the BLM, when you guys were doing trades with BLM and they were working on possibly doing that. And I don't know that much about that particular thing.
Yeah, it's in process, too. That's been decided
that's still
and moving.
In process. Yeah. I'd love to tell you. I could give you a really good overview. But reading six of them 5 minutes before this meeting didn't.
We're up to April, looks like. April of 18 is our current one. In the batch I've got. I have five. Do I have to meet every other month?
So, one thing that was proposed is that every other month they would meet at an actual park.
Every other month, yeah?
Yeah, because it's a monthly meeting, so every other month they would meet at an actual park. So you can see, if you look at the ones that they meet at the park, well, it says up there underneath the very top, like, where they are.
Sure.
So you can see that they went to White Horse on the May 2018 one. So then at that point, every other meeting...
I don't have a May here.
You don't have a May?
I got a May.
I don't. I've got an October...
So I have the originals.
December of 17. I've got a January of 18.
Mine started with an October 17.
Right, and
then December,
February of 18, and I've got an April of 18.
And then January, February, March. And I do believe July was actually already signed by you guys and in the journal. So that you are missing that one.
And if you want, I can scan through and give updates too on just what I read real quick if you guys want. I'm happy to do that.
And I also contacted Sarah this last week to get kind of everything in order, just for your information, Darren.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There is one opening on the board, and how it works is they look over it as a committee and give you... a recommendation.
Which I think they have.
Which Brian Hawkins, mm-hmm. just whatever, and she was very excited. She said, I will take it to the next meeting. I'm assuming that will push through because they are... And Robert Jackson, they just didn't actually realize. So if it's yellow, that means that they are expired or open. I don't know if anybody else wants a copy. I made
that.
And Robert Jackson, they just didn't realize that his term had expired. So I sent her an expiration. Well, I sent her this with all the expiration list. So he will probably be, I'm assuming he will be
Yeah, they serve.
It's two terms.
4-year terms.
And they can serve 2 terms.
Right.
So they can serve for 8 years.
So, I don't know if Ricky had come up with the system, but I know as expirations come up, every single advisory board does it differently. Some are at a certain date in the year. Some are as that person's been assigned. And they were looking at maybe trying to flag something in one of the calendars that would give, like, when somebody is assigned, maybe putting an appointment in the calendar a 2 month before they expire, so it can... Something to trigger for us to look it up, so that we're keeping
on top of
these.
Well, I mean, I have been looking at it, and I guess I have been in communication with some of the staff, whoever the staff person who is assigned to them. I have been checking in with them and making sure what Ricky put together is actually still accurate, because some of it has been, just because things change and people resign and all of that stuff. So every week that we do this, I am getting everything organized and up to date and figuring out how they do appointments so that we can follow the bylaws, obviously. So that's what I have, and I have all the hard copies here for you guys to sign. Those are your copies review.
Looking at the October one, the biggest thing is just kind of the White Horse Master Plan. It should be, I don't know if they have it complete yet, but that is an ongoing thing to get it up to date. It's our oldest established park in the county. It's not big enough for RVs and stuff like that, so there was a plan to redo the restrooms, redo the camps, and add camping and RV stuff there. Then
that's going to happen. This
and it goes on to say it's 100% complete or almost 100%.
And a couple of these, I'm seeing a reference to a tree project, but I want to point out into the December 2017 minutes about Lake Selmac and the weeds. So the weeds, essentially, it's the big paragraph and the first thing. They've grown so much weeds, it's warm enough in the lake that they're killing off all the fish. They've put more fish in, they die. They're trying to figure out what to do. They need to dredge it. It hadn't been dredged since the 80s. They're trying to have people volunteer to handpick it to date, but they're still dealing with those weeds. It's an ongoing thing, so this is over a year that that's been going on. There's talk about developing Turtle Lane. I've never heard anything further on that one, but it looks like they're looking for funding for White Horse Phase 1 in that one. Just in the January one, something that stands out as important to look at is the 25-year lease agreement with BLM. So what that was is Lake Selmac, part of the lands of our park at Lake Selmac is BLM. Part of it is ours. We had a long-term lease. We were working at getting that renewed. This was kind of the start of us talking about exchanging lands with BLM. But in the meantime, we extended that lease for BLM so that we could at least continue to operate the way that we are. But they had different requirements in the use and stuff like that. So,
do we have somebody, speaking of the land swap with BLM, do we have somebody that's just keeping a thumb on the pulse of that?
Yeah. I think it would
Sarah and Wally.
And Wally,
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that you know, because Simon was always on the front cover of that, and mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that it's being followed through on, because that's very important. That land swap is very important.
It is, and I just wanted to point out that here was a BLM lease for the park, and it's what kind of got us started talking of, well, how many BLM properties in our parks are we partnering with, and there were several. One other thing on that minutes that I want to point out, two things, actually. One is the county's working on a video to highlight the entire county, and would allow Parks Department to use a segment for the website. At one point, Commissioner Hare had a couple.
Sorry.
You're fine.
Sure.
Well, then use the other door.
At one point, Commissioner Hare had some videos on his computer about the parks. I never heard what the status of that project is. So they did some videos of our parks to try to highlight our parks And this is the first time I read it in a minute that it was talked about, but I don't know what the status is today. I know they did some, but they weren't released yet, or there was some editing needing to be done, so it'd be nice to find out.
Would they get a drone that or something?
They
drone,
did.
Drone,
yeah.
That's really.
And then the last one on here, it says the board is looking to pass an ordinance for transient lodging tax for the county and one of the places that can bring revenue for the Parks Department. So I had asked Julie to bring back the transient tax because we've talked about it supporting airport and fairgrounds. And I just don't know the status, but I thought I'd let you know. Here's all the way back to January 2018 where we've been talking about it.
I could give you an update on that because...
No.
I won't give you an update on it.
I'd love to get it later in the matters from commissioners. Okay. Agenda-wise, we're reviewing the minutes, so okay. Sticking to that.
Context,
so
yeah.
I was just kind of trying to find out some highlights in these worth pointing out for Commissioner Fowler especially, and for us to kind of these might be good for us to, as we're doing this, to make some notes of kind of tracking for us to make sure that we're following.
This may be a good time for us because we're changing gears, that we start just like this. BLM, just a reminder, we can look up there on the grease board.
Let's do it.
And say, these are things. Let's start the list, you know. We've got concerns about the BLM.
Perfect pins right here.
And we can just start writing them up there on the grease board. And then if we see, just a reminder...
Because with Sarah, it was the highlight. The videos to highlight the parks.
Let me get this piece of tape off. It's in the way. Maybe not. What was another one that we've talked about? We heard the White Horse. It might be worth getting a White Horse update.
Yeah, it would, because they're getting ready to start that project, I think, and that would be nice to bring Darren up to speed on exactly what that is.
And then
it's $1.4 million, I think.
Yeah, it's a bunch. The BLM land swap, they're still waiting to appoint the director for our region. It was supposed to happen right before the shutdown and didn't.
Were there any other ones that we're seeing? I like this idea of us having some reminders of some ongoing things.
We kicked it around last year, but we just never did it. And let's just do it.
Yep. I'm a whiteboard girl, so you're singing my song.
We bring something up in a meeting, hey, fire back there and write a reminder so we can go back to it.
Well, we've talked about this with Wendy and various things. Like, how do we track this? Remember we had that Excel spreadsheet that didn't happen? And we probably should pull that out and see if there's any things on it to trigger memories. But... I like that we're kind of reviewing some past minutes because it will maybe give us an opportunity to... Okay.
Well, we've got a fresh set of ideas at the table also. Mm-hmm. And rather than when the thing's all been settled between the past three commissioners and then Darren just has to basically go along and sign it, I'm interested in what your thoughts are.
Appreciate that.
I think that's the...
Yep. Fresh eyes.
So I didn't see anything in the February 1 that stood out as new other than they were doing some stuff, some repairs, some yurts and stuff like that, seasonal stuff. The April 1, they kind of confirmed the termination of the Reserve America stuff in April and that they would go in-house May 8th. That did happen. And... they were having massive customer service complaints through the other program.
Through the other program,
and
yeah.
So what they ended up doing is hiring somebody and bringing it in-house.
That means you come here to this building? Or to her Ringette office?
They have it online still. They have somebody there to actually answer and follow up. And a couple of the minutes I've seen mentioned, and this April 1 does too, about the MOU for Lathrop. I want to say that just at the last meeting with Sarah, she brought up the Lathrop boat landing and wanting to do something with City, taking that back to restore it and get it kind of going.
There's also discussion to purchase the property next to it.
That's what it was. That yeah. I am wondering if that's what this Lathrop conversation is. And
I would assume so. That's the only thing I've heard out of that property.
Okay. May, they were at the state meeting, and then June... this is where they start visiting other places. They did their first one at Whitehorse. The next one was going to be at Lake Selmac. They're trying... Okay, and this... Milfoil, that's the stuff that's causing
the problem at Lake Selmac. Yeah.
And that they were getting volunteers to try to do it, but it was problematic. All right. That's the minutes.
That's the catch-up. Well, and I would just add that in talking with Sarah, that they've had an attendance problem with this board consistently. And we're wondering if they wanted to try and address it, whether that would be by reducing the number of participants. They're also not coming out with a lot of recommendations. Yeah.
It'd be easier to get a quorum if you've got 9 members and you need 5 and there's only 7 showing up every time. You're odd to get a quorum. Well,
what did the bylaws say about
that? I'm not sure.
I'm reading them right now.
I have not. But that also there was a visioning issue. They're not really looking to the future and making plans. They're kind of right in the moment trying to second guess what staff is doing and the ones, the whys and stuff. And so it's not as fully functioning as she imagined either. So,
well, I would suggest that maybe you and she talk about the membership, because since they all serve at the pleasure of the board, maybe we see about recruiting. You should also be aware, my mother is secretary of a nonprofit in town that's full function is to support our parks. Josephine Parks Foundation, I think it's called.
Are they kind of like the Friends of the Fairgrounds?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. They don't bring in a lot of money. They're aging out. It was an older group. Most of them are in their 70s and 80s. That's young still, I know. But as far as they have not recruited younger people to be a part of that foundation, but they do raise money for the parks, for county parks specifically. I don't know how much they interact with the park board. It's like you have these two functioning things.
Well, I think one of the things we have to turn around with the parks board is, and it's not just parks. It's where fairgrounds was. It's where airports was. They've been so beat up and beat down for so long, it's hard for them to grasp that, hey, there's some things we can get done. They've got a balance. I mean, parks is in the black a long way. So maybe it's time they take some of their visions and get them done. And I think Whitehorse is going to be a huge thing.
Well,
and you're going to need that parks board for the whole deal of Whitehorse.
I think finding that balance, and maybe that's where Sarah and Darren can talk, because there were a couple things listed in the minutes, like developing a plan for Turtle Lane, talking about Lathrop Boat Landing. Those are kind of some ongoing things. Mm-hmm. So maybe... Well... I wonder what will happen out of the February strategic plan, but goal setting. Maybe it gets the managers all kind of on a page of going back to their staff, going back to their advisory board and say, this is kind of the vision of where the county's going, and this is where we're going to be going.
As it was when we changed up over at the city, when we changed that goal setting to include the committees, all of a sudden the committee started...
Right.
Getting revived. I said, we go to the meetings and everything, but nobody's listening.
Yeah.
So I think that might be one of the keys that fires them up. So you mean you really want to hear what we have to say?
Yeah. And I want to take, since I wasn't able to go to the January meeting, when I go to the February meeting, I want to take the opportunity of being new to the job to ask those bigger, harder questions.
Fresh start.
Yep. And say, hey, let's... Let's see what we can do to make sure you guys are seeing results for your efforts.
Right, right.
And not just...
It's probably the frustration, I think, a lot of me, I share it, that, you know, okay, we go to all the meetings and we make suggestions, but does anything ever get done?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. And that's what we need to change. They need to put their sights on something and follow it through and actually say, yeah, we started that. Yes, we were part of that project.
Yep. We owned it, and we were there for the pictures at the end when we finished.
Thank you for sticking with us, and go from there. I think that's
Well, and Trish found the spot on attendance in the bylaws that says three consecutive meetings is cause for dismissal. But I don't think it's been enforced because there has been three.
You wouldn't have a committee, it sounds like.
Yeah.
It says unless that they are excused.
Right,
for
unless
like,
there's... Right, medical.
Justifiable.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and one of them said that there was a conflict for Commissioner Hare to be there with our weekly meetings, so they had talked about should we move the time. They also talked about do they need to
when
meet every
there?
Month. So it might be...
When's their meetings?
They're at like 3. No,
but
yeah,
which,
3 p.m.
Which day of the
October
month?
October 24th. What was
first
that?
First Thursday or something, yeah. I don't know.
Well, October 24th, 2017... was a Tuesday, so it looks like it's the fourth Tuesday at 3 p.m. And that's our legal counsel meeting, is every
right.
Tuesday at 2 to 4, so it's always going to be a conflict.
But it's not on for today. 1, 2, 3, 4. I thought I missed it last week.
I didn't make most of it, or a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
So you probably haven't been able to make every single one, but...
Would be the good goal. I just can't find it in January either.
Do you guys actually want to sign these right now during the meeting, or...?
I maybe just leave them there. Dan and I can sign them when we're done.
Yeah, I don't think I've signed them.
No. You've already signed them?
Yeah.
No, you have some that you haven't.
I have some in there? No.
You signed like 3 out of 8.
Okay.
I'm not the only one. I do like the idea of getting the memory triggers, though, of some of these things to get updates on. And just, again, it gets us all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Jog your mind.
Okay, so with that, we don't have to take any action other than just signing them. So, okay, so I'm going to move on in the agenda to additional subject matters from commissioners. One of the things... that I have for you, Eve RC, our treasurer and tax collector, brought a letter, a notice of non-compliance of one of our recreational marijuana businesses that is not currently paying. And so legal is drafted a letter and is going after them, but she gave me the copy that is our copy, so I'll make sure that we get that. But they are following up with what to do with that business. And it was mostly just an FYI that was going on.
The beginning of something?
Correct. How about you guys? Yes?
Okay, two things. I had a couple come in the other day, and they had an assessment from back in the early 80s. And it was for $2,214 for an assessment for Copper Drive. They went back and told me the whole story about Copper Drive and how
Public Works assessment.
Yes and no.
Okay.
And what it amounted to is I said, so what's the assessment for? And they said it was for a driveway approach when they put Copper Drive in. Said, then the reason my grandpa didn't pay it is because shortly thereafter, he was using the driveway approach. The people bought the land next to him and said, no, that's our driveway approach. You get your own. So he put his own driveway approach in on his property. So he said, well, I'm not going to pay this thing because I'm not going to pay for an approach that I didn't get that I had to go put my own in anyway. So he's been fighting that. Well, over the years, this thing has gathered up almost $5,000 worth of interest. And they brought it to me and said, you know, Grandpa's dying and so on and so forth. I said, you know, just tell me what the whole thing is. So I tried to follow this thing down. I ended up with John down in the clerk's office, and it ended up being it wasn't for the driveway approach. It was for the actual construction of Copper Drive. It was $2,217.87, somewhere along in there. And I went back to the folks, and I said, I understand where the mistake and the miscommunication. He just got an assessment. Never did explain what it was for. So he thought it was for, you know, just nobody ever said anything. So I said, here's what I'm going to elect to do. I can't erase the principal, the 22-something, everybody paid that on Copper Drive. But I am going to forgive the interest on it. And so that's what there's only two of them left down here at the clerk, and they send him a bill every 6 months and there'd been no traffic on it since '80s. So they were just said, fine, that's it. We'll come in and pay the 22. We'll get that off the books. John doesn't need to have any more paperwork involved with it. There's that one, and there's one on Opal Lane, but the guy on Opal Lane is paying. And then that's the last we have of those in this building.
That's
so good. Let's just get them out of here. Or that one. That one. Next is we did meet Friday. John Bowen, Sarah, myself, Tamara. And we met with the idea of, and Arthur, kicking around the lodging tax. Various prices, so on and so on, so on, what to do with it. We had comparisons with all the other counties in the state, so on and so forth. We just are looking at what it would be for 3% countywide. You know, John seemed to think that that was not out of the ordinary. He's going to go back now to his lodging people because he's in touch with the lodging folks and see how that pans out with them. We also discussed what to do with the money. Of course, 70% of it needs to go to economic development. So that Fairgrounds has no problem with, you know, meeting that. We were trying to figure out how to, and parks, and we were trying to figure out how to get an airport element in it. And so we decided that what economic development gives to parks and to Fairgrounds would go away and can be devoted towards airport. So we're working a bunch of angles there, but it looks like the consensus at the table was that that's something we may want to go to the May ballot with, is a lodging tax for the county.
So we will need to find out the timelines on that.
In March. Arthur knew pretty well what it was.
Julie has had a lot of work into that.
Yes, I'm going to see Julie tomorrow. So
okay.
I'm going to Curry all day tomorrow.
Okay.
And so I plan, that's one of the things, that I've got a list of things that I want her to come back and follow through on.
Yeah.
Just on a part-time thing. I would like to suggest that we, for maybe, it could be a time, because Julie is a regional person, she thinks regionally, mm-hmm. that maybe, when I don't know is where there's enough work over there in Curry County to keep her busy, keep her hands busy, so there's a possibility maybe we could work a deal with Curry County that we rob her a little bit to help out.
Well, right now we are.
We are,
got it.
Yeah.
We're working on that deal. But so the other thing is we have a tendency as a board, historically, not just us, to kind of react to whatever's in front of us, kind of like we were hearing the Parks Board is doing versus that visioning a future. And when it comes to economic development, have we ever established what exactly helps economic development in Josephine County? For instance,
is there
for
a plan?
We keep
sewer
that
system in North Valley Industrial Park will greatly improve economic opportunity for businesses there. Finishing the suppression system, Ivy. So do we identify those things? And then we have something that'll come up like the Little League Park, and okay, it's regionally, but does it, you know, so
we're
defining
trying,
what's economic
we're trying
development.
To make projects fit in economic development mm-hmm. instead of the other way around.
And maybe
I
at some point
a,
we
a,
actually
a way I would
that's a good way of saying it.
We actually sit and define at some point us as a board, and this would be part of this transition of what's going on with economic development is us establishing some kind of.
And this is a good time to do that.
Goal setting and
shifting gears with Julie. This is a really good time to do it. I agree with you on that North Valley Industrial Park. We keep kicking around, and then we take the money and go put it over here somewhere. We take it and put it over there rather than, you know, it's going there. Well,
and it seems like it's a often used bucket of last resort.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where you, oh, we can always get it out of that fund.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if we had some plan with,
this is, this
with that money.
Likens to the Savage Street Bridge. That was on the list for I don't know how many years. We just kept robbing that account until we finally put our foot down and said, no, put the bridge in. Let's get that one off our plate.
So I just so you know, I am working with Rob regarding the sewer system in North Valley Industrial and working with the school district because we want to.
It's a huge deal.
We're supposed to follow up this month or next month with the school district as far as, okay, what's next? We were identifying a couple things. Tracking down a contaminant
and you got the email that Paradise Ranch now is owned by the Homeowners Association.
Correct.
So I think if that thing moves forward, you know, because there's a sewer system element in the corner of Paradise Ranch.
Correct.
That's platted. And that right there was going to take care of the high-tech sewer system that was going to do the industrial park and the schools and Paradise Ranch. And so that was in there.
Yes, but the airport plan that fell through was part of our plan of moving forward. Mm-hmm. They do... Okay, so I talked to someone about this yesterday, about the sewer systems and how... the airport one fell through. We're looking at the Fleming one as an alternate of what can we do there to also relieve the school district of the responsibility potentially of all of us. And then the other component is there was a system that's the plan for Paradise Ranch, and I'm just the name of what their system was is slipping my mind at the moment. But there was another business in Merlin that used that same one. And we're going to follow up to see how's that working for them. Because unlike all the other businesses in Merlin, where they're water saturated and emptying septic tanks twice a month, we want to know if that one's working so I can take that back to Rob. Because, again, we were back to the drawing board of what's the next thing. Right. So I was talking to a Paradise Ranch person yesterday about what sewer their plan is and what we're trying to do to see if... So we're not dropping the ball and
but
we're keeping
it
moving.
It may be at some point in time... Now that we know this isn't going to go to a bank located somewhere else in the United States, it's actually staying with people that live here.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be opposed to saying let's get together a public-private partnership or whatever you want to call that, and seeing that maybe that sewer treatment plant needs to go in now,
right on their land.
On their land, suit our needs, and it would also. It increases the value of their land because now they have water and sewer.
We all have to deal with it. So let me follow up with Rob to see where the process is with the other.
Yeah, Rob followed up.
And another thought on that Paradise transfer is how much do they know that the FAA doesn't want that strip developed by the... Okay.
They're aware of that.
Okay, so I want to make sure.
Larry sent that to them as well.
I thought he would.
And there's a deal in there that you can sign an affidavit that says you know you live next to an airport.
Yeah, you can't complain from now on.
But it's deed restrictions. You can...
Oh, okay.
You know, you assign something to the property. Sir, did you have more?
What's that?
Did you have more under matters from commissioners?
How
did Walden's thing go Friday?
The what?
Oh, that was you.
You drew number one. No, that was him.
That was you. Walden, Friday.
It was good. There wasn't very many people. There was a lot of those, what do they call themselves, the Indivisibles or whatever. They're the left wing. And they every time he said something, I broke ranks with my colleagues, and they all stood up and cheered. Then he broke ranks with the Republican Party in order to vote on the wall thing.
Right.
It wasn't very well attended.
Okay.
And it was odd, because it's just stupid. Walked in there, guy got a ticket, said, here's a ticket in case they want to call you. Call your number and you can ask a question. I said, I don't really want to ask a question, but I'll take the ticket anyway. So I'm sitting down there with Ron Martin and Ron Fields, Jr., and we're sitting in the row, and I looked out, and I thought, you better come up with a question because they're going to pick your name.
I saw you got picked first. You did.
And I said, well, let's go through it. Greg's up there, he's got all these. See, first one is zero. I'm just going to get the last four numbers. 0019, I went. God, you're kidding me. Ron goes, what? And I went, oh my God. So I went up to the mic, I said, you know what? And I said, please step up to the mic. And the mic was right there.
Yeah.
And I said, I told the people, I says, I don't want to talk right now because I'm on my way to buy a lottery ticket. But I asked him about, I said, my frustration is with ONC. How can a judge order people to break a congressional act? The ONC Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Endangered Species Act, all of those went in the trash can. I said, you get a fire going like that, and it do you think it stays back 300 feet from a stream bed for riparian? No, it goes through there like ran through Dixie. How many endangered species was wiped out by a 196,000 acre fire? And then you won't let us log. Eh? You know, this whole thing is so backwards. And if we'd really enforced the ONC Act way back when, we may not have this now because we would have had a sustained yield to be cleaning those forests out and managing the forest. Who said we had to break that act? Now, I said, it's not an Oregon administrative rule. It's an act, for a congressional act that the House and the Senate both agreed on. How did that work? And he said, well, I know there's lawsuits from ONC and so on and so forth. He went through and he answered as best he could, but there is no answer for that. There is no answer for that. But I thought the exchange went well. We had like an hour and 10 minutes or so. Alan Ayer spoke. Ron Fields Jr. got to speak. There was one lady, she had a whole list of stuff, and she was from the Indivisibles. She got a lot of applause for the questions she was asking. She was making more statements, and I think she only asked one question. The rest of them were all statements. So, but I think he appreciated us being there. We introduced...
Thank you for making it to that.
Yeah, it worked out good. And I think that's it for me.
That's it. Well, I spoke with the board chair of the Selma Community Center over the weekend, and their plans are on hold.
Okay.
They've made some discoveries that make everything different. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk more on that later.
Okay. Where I kind of come to the place on that one is, even last summer when I was having the meetings there, the one project I think I'd be willing to move forward with that I still think would be beneficial to the community is the well.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of who is in that building, I think it would be appropriate for us to, if there's a plumber that can fix that well, or if we have to drill the other one, if that quote was actually accurate, I don't know if you can dig a well for $11,000.
I don't.
Depends on the depth. But,
he took the highest bid, so we saw the...
Okay, so I suggested he take the bid.
Yeah, there's two of them.
Okay.
He took the highest one, and I said, then hire the lower one and use it as a contingency.
Okay.
But they're on hold because they've found some asbestos. They found that the Three River School District is not being as friendly as they hope, and they may fold the board this week, and that place may get boarded up.
Well, or the Three River School District may look for somebody else. But I still think, as a board, we committed the IV cell building to go back to the Illinois Valley.
Mm-hmm.
This is the...
Well, it all has. And then
some. No, I know. But Selma, this is the only project that would be potentially saying to Selma, we are doing something to you.
Yeah, we acknowledge your value in the IV.
And the well being there doesn't change... Yeah. The other issues the school district has to fix in that building, regardless of who the occupant is. So I would ask that we maybe continue to keep the well portion on the back burner.
Yep, and then keep it as part of the discussion.
Correct.
Right. I agree.
I think every opportunity we can, excuse me, Chairman, but I every opportunity we have to deal with the school board, bring that up. That's their facility, it's not ours.
Yep. Correct.
Yep. See, why aren't
but having
board?
A nonprofit is a partnership. But the food bank just was there was some issues there,
mm-hmm.
and the food bank has been utilizing that thing and had a conflict with the community center folks and no longer is there. And so it's kind of like I don't know what the future is of that property.
Right.
But I think the well would help the community regardless.
It would help
of
whoever. Yeah. And it's not that big of an ask.
But
for sure. I also was able to attend my first session at County College at OSU, which I felt like a college student, my first chance to go to college.
Congratulations. You're a beaver.
That's right.
You learned how to tap a cake?
Those guys, yeah.
Roll the joint?
If memory serves, I could probably get there. Most people held their Oregon Duck gear for Saturday and didn't wear it on Thursday or Friday when all the students were there.
That's so funny.
But the buildings were cool. The campus is great. The OSU outreach program is one I'm trying to get my mind around because it seems like it... Of course, they punch it up as being one of the best things in the USA. They got 4-H in our county, and that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not saying 4-H is a great program, so don't get me wrong.
We brought that up too.
We did. Look how much they're doing in other counties versus here.
They're big in other counties.
And so, I was trying. That's the one thing I had some reservations on. They also talked about government ethics and meeting law, which fortunately I'm familiar with in a lot of ways, and so that was some review for me. But they talked about convening on Saturday, which seemed extremely valuable. How to structure, getting some groups together and actually getting something done in your community, what had some great information. And we did some breakout sessions with that were very valuable, more crosstalk than we had during the previous couple days. And so I looked forward to that second meeting being kind of our breakout. That first meeting, we were a little bit... And so I think the second meeting, but you could see it starting to gel. You'd started to memorize names and what county they're from and what their issues are. It was really fun. We also had four people break out and go up to Kate Brown's inauguration, which turned out to be quite a kick, in a downtown Portland industrial space that was decorated well. The food was good. The entertainment was loud, really loud. You couldn't really talk during when the bands were playing. But people seem to have a good time. And I think AOC was well represented there. There was over a dozen people from there. So that was cool. Also made the Right to Life march on Sunday. Thought it was well organized. The Grants Pass Public Safety was very helpful in traffic control. The weather mostly cooperated. There was a lot of muck boots in the crowd, because it rained.
I had water in over half my garage.
Oh.
And that's after sandbags and trying to just do something else. Just.
But from the alley side?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, the front's not that vulnerable.
No, the alley is just higher than my garage. But it was built in 50,
that's a bummer.
So it's just...
Yep. Otherwise, was a good weekend, and that's all I have.
Well, Dan, you and I both, you've heard Dan say it. I mean, we're naysayers, and it's like, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. And I think we added value in challenging the status quo.
In a way, I think we added more to the class than we took than they away.
Brought, right?
They questioned a lot of stuff, you know, that Forest Service and their accessibility to federal lands. I said, what are you going to give us all keys to the padlock? What padlock?
Yeah.
You know, we don't have padlocks. And boy, that court boy stood up, and gosh, it was a melee from then on.
Well, and his fellow commissioner, I forget his name.
Chris Patch.
Chris Patch. When we all did our introductions, he said, well, when we first came in, we had a vacancy in the administrator spot, but we found someone. I'm like, you stole her. And that helped kind of break the ice at the beginning.
Pirate! Draw your sword!
He sent that message to her, and she got a smile out of it.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I was like, hey, we got to keep the ice broke a little bit.
Yeah,
you
got to keep poking it.
And we have a lot of common issues, so I did not alienate him at all. No.
I think it's all in good.
Yeah, all in good fun.
We have found that the fires has brought Curry and Jackson and Josephine together the last three summers. The natural resources were in the same boat. The economy impact. So I did send him the email you said about the Navy and the Marines, and his response is, well, the Marines always did need a good water taxi.
Yeah, you're right. Seagoing bellhop, we used to call them. They accompany the jarheads, the Marines used to accompany the flag whenever we left the ship and whatnot. We used to call them seagoing bellhops because they had the admiral's briefcase and his coat and all this other stuff.
Well,
pipe them on and off.
And my son's in the Marines, or was, and my nephew's still in the Navy. He's going to be a lifer. And, of course, they went back and forth at Thanksgiving more than a time or two. But he's like, yeah, but your Marines is a department of the Navy. He's like, yeah, it's the men's department. And so so they always had some banter. It went back and forth. So
I got some feedback on... from Kit, I can never remember her name. She works in courts. Her and I parked cars at the same time. And
Trina.
Not Trina. No.
Okay.
It's one of the other ones. And I said, boy, that was sure exciting having the Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice come up to the office. And she goes, she came down there. She said had so much fun down there in the Board of County Commissioners office.
Awesome.
Said Dave, it was a real hit. Said she
real
just
memorable.
Quit talking about how it was just laid back and she said it was a wonderful exchange. That she was really there. And I said, well, one of the things we didn't get a chance to talk about, we did talk about the Law Enforcement Stability Act, and I said she was very interested in that. But I said didn't get a chance to tell her that part of law enforcement would be court security. I mean, that's going to be pretty high on our list is court security. She goes, yeah, we'd love that. And I said, well, it's just something that you can figure you may get out of this thing when it gets done. And I said, that'd be up to the board of trustees, but it certainly falls within that scope. Mm-hmm. So, but she said she was, yeah, that Chief Justice was really, she had a really good time. And
that's great.
And I think it was different probably than a welcome she gets anywhere else because yeah. It was pretty low key. We got a feedback from Commissioner Heck, didn't we? And
on that meeting?
Yeah, about that because it was a picture, you know, Jason took some pictures with us with the Chief Justice and Commissioner Heck made the comment that he was embarrassed that we were so casual. Well,
had the opposite effect.
Okay.
Yeah. On a Friday afternoon.
Yeah. And on top of that, it was a casual meeting. I thought it went very well. Anyway,
she didn't have a robe, so I thought it was casual.
Yeah. She hey, where's your balance thing? Where's your
scale?
Where's your scales of justice?
Shoot.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Yeah, me too. So you?
I am going to try to be here at the very beginning of the city-county workshop meeting, but I need to be down at a meeting at 11:30. That's the CDC meeting.
Okay. Do you have anything we need to bring up at the city-county workshop?
Not that I can think of. Sheriff and I briefly touched base about equipment and radio stuff and just kind of following up. As far as timing, I'm trying to get narrowed down with Arthur scope of finances, and we are supposed to get our last SRS payment, the part two of this last one in the spring, and that's what they said at AOC this month. So
I don't know how accurate that information was.
Do you have a relationship with Rocky McVeigh yet?
Oh, yeah.
Reach out to him.
Yeah, I'm going to see. I'll probably see Rocky tomorrow because he's from Brookings.
So they are keeping track on the SRS stuff. Maybe ask him what his thoughts.
My question at one of the ONC meetings was, okay, I don't know about the rest of your counties, but Merkley and Wyden said $4 million, and we ended up getting $1.8 million, but they counted $2.1 million that we got from
shared receipts. That's supposed to be the same.
And I said, so what's up with that? And Tim Freeman said, we see the delta, but that's not a button we want to push as ONC. And I went, what? Hmm. I don't know what it meant to Douglas, but it had to be huge. Douglas's shortfall had to have been huge. I never did get those numbers. That bothered me a little bit. Because we should be fighting for that. They got the political baggage. They got the kudos for $4 million, and we didn't get $4 million. We got $1.8 million.
So, Darren, with the ONC counties, the portion of BLM lands of the whole ONC portion is broken down by percentages between the 18 counties. Two counties have pulled out of the association, but they still get the money from shared receipts
and not
that
active.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's Multnomah or did Benton pull out?
Benton, I think, did. Yeah.
And
Clatsop
and Benton.
I think Clatsop.
And Multnomah is considering, I think, but
Lane's
Douglas team. County gets the biggest portion of the ONCs. I think they get 25%. I think we're at 12, something like that. So we're fourth or fifth up from the top. We're pretty up there. But as far as the understanding, when the money's come, they're not split out. They're always split at a percentage, and we get a percentage. Now, there's Oregon State Trust Lands, which is different, and the majority of Oregon State Trust Lands, ONC cuts in anywhere in ONC, and everybody in ONC gets a percentage.
Now we get it, no matter where it's cut.
Right, no matter where
Oregon
it's cut, okay.
Oregon State Trust Lands, which is different than BLM.
Is on the stump.
They give the money to whoever they cut it from.
Yeah.
So Tillamook and Clatsop get the majority of that.
Right.
Because they're cutting more?
Where
90% of their forests are state lands versus we're...
Our BLM.
Correct. So that's kind of the difference there as far as background. And
I agree that this is probably as close as we're ever going to get to winning that lawsuit is what we have in place right now. But I don't agree with saying, okay, we're just willing to forgive $2.1 million.
Yeah, the past.
It was your statement. You said it. You said it did not include shared receipts. We received shared receipts in 17. This SRS was in 18.
Well, maybe ask...
We're still tying it.
I've asked Walden about.
Not just Walden. Ask Tim. Explain. Yeah. Help me understand why you're coming from.
Yeah, when's the next meeting for the ONC counties?
We just had
one month. Yeah.
They're every other month.
Every other month.
Or no, once a quarter. So it'll be the next one will probably be in a couple of months.
All right.
And I'm the commissioner for the ONC.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, anybody can attend. It's kind of interesting.
It's not the same as Association of Oregon Counties, that their meetings are public, that they announce, they put the meetings out.
Right.
This ONC, if we have a quorum there, we are the ones that have to make sure that we do the notification and stuff like that. Don't have the same protections as at AOC.
Mm-hmm.
So, Wendy, is there anything that you guys have as staff as far as we need to, in this last week that came up as far as follow-up to last week?
No.
Okay.
Well, and something, if it sounds like,
that was an official.
That was official, no. Little bird up at the county college said that Jackson County voted to go back in to the
serious?
I hadn't read it yet.
Henderson and I were just getting ready to go talk to him. Phil and I said, I'll team up with you.
There was a movement, a consideration, and I heard it pass.
I've been emailing Colleen.
Yeah. I've been talking to Bob Stosser. I said, you guys are missing out here. I said, you know how much work they're doing on this?
Yeah.
And you're going to benefit big time on this thing coming up. And they're carrying the water on it. So that's good. I'm glad to see that.
I did not hear an official word. It wasn't announced from the microphone. It was a casual conversation. Did you hear they voted on that? And they're in. And I said,
that'd be swell.
That'd be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that will be swell. Yeah, good deal.
Awesome.
I don't know if we can check the Mail Tribune.
Phil and I talked about it. And Jim Doherty. Doherty was, he was
he was the membership chair last year as second vice president. And so Melissa Cribbins is this year, and myself is district chair, so she and I were going to be.
Right.
Right. So, but that'd be a big deal. That's a good
Henderson
deal.
Said, he said, I'll go with you. We're going to get him back in.
So I did an interview on a TV show on Saturday talking about fires. Britt Ivy Boyce is the host of the TV show. It airs on Southern Oregon Public TV. While I was at the studio, some of the staff were like, you guys really should reconsider partnering with us. And I said, well, quite frankly, none of us were here when the decision to step away from that was. And as far as what benefits or what the cost or versus our IT still doing all the, it's not been a discussion we've had anytime soon or the weighing the pros and cons. So maybe if you guys want to do a presentation at some point as to the why would that be a benefit to Joseph County, we can discuss that further on. But
yeah, we're tearing that, I think.
Okay, well, I will, if there's nothing else, I see let's adjourn till we'll be back at 11 o'clock for the city-county update and then back this afternoon at 2 o'clock for the legal council update. As you guys are getting used to the calendars and the adjustments with meetings, if we need to change anything, don't hesitate to
suggest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll be gone all day tomorrow, so... And
you'll be back for the evening weekly business session tomorrow night?
I should be, yeah.
Okay.
Shouldn't be a problem. Court...
Can I ask one more before we go? Go ahead.
Go ahead. My court asked if I was able to stick around. I said, yeah, I'll stick around with all you guys need because we want to be on the same page.
Okay.
Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take exactly how it benefits everybody. Mm-hmm. So when somebody asks them, what's in it for the state? I'm going to have a narrative on that, too. So that's what I want to do is make sure that I go to Curry next week. And, Coos County next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to plan one for Jackson and one for Lane.
Okay.
Just to make sure all the narratives are the same coming out of all five counties. Mm-hmm. And then Jason and I are getting started on our county commissioner corner, which is going to be our little deal that I'll send out to all legislators explaining the situation, how it is. It's going to make sure that it's not ex parte communication. I don't think it is.
You're able to lobby.
That's
but at a certain level, you have to reach. And you can talk to AOC about what that cusp is of when you reach that lobbying level.
I've talked to Bovette a little bit about it. I'm going to let him make that decision.
Because if you reach that cusp of how much you have, then you have to register as a lobbyist. Mm-hmm. But it, right now, we're not in that role yet. Are you here tomorrow night for our evening meeting?
I am.
Okay, so if you don't make it back in time, we can cover.
I should be able to be back. I've got one. I was going to try to stop and see Rocky McBay on the way back, so that's the only thing that I would hang up.
Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you guys about RVCOG, what the state of the relationship with our county was. I am the
established liaison. The only project I think we have going with RVCOG right now is that Food and Friends thing, and I hope that thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That just boggles my mind. They paid too much for the building, spent too much on it, and then we're still almost a quarter million dollars upside down on it.
Well, and you know, we had tried to say we can reach out to some local businesses to see if Home Depot wants to take on one of the things that, all right, it's a Home Depot pergola or it's a Fields blah blah blah, and see about. And then they had their contract said, oh no, our contractor will donate that stuff, and so then alienates the local ask even. I have been told that, and you may have remembered reading it in Julie's letter about RVCOG not being utilized. They tend to be there for the smaller
communities,
mm-hmm. but on the county level, there really hasn't been a lot.
Do you know our membership, what it costs us, just offhand?
The minimum that we have to.
Yeah. Well, because I was going to forgo their meeting and go to the Illinois Valley Chamber of Commerce instead tomorrow.
Okay.
I thought it would be a better use of time, at least this first thing, because I want to establish that relationship. But, sorry, I really thought these were silent. I don't know what happened.
It's okay.
That's it?
I mean, as far as RVCOG, I have not been the liaison since I've been a commissioner.
I go to all their meetings if I can get there because it's right at lunchtime and I'm able to zip over there and back.
Okay.
We're definitely at the table. They look to Josephine County a lot.
Okay.
For comment and guidance, I think. You know, I think we can steer the room fairly easily. And there are some good things. Shake Alert came out of that. You know, they did a presentation over there and a couple of things that they get presentations on.
Okay.
Go from there, so.
Well, I'll try and get to the next one.
I'll try if I have to. Roy Lindsay's there. Bob Stosser's there. Middle Rogue MPO, we had a meeting the other day, and I was able to attend that. Nothing really much happened there. They gave a presentation on, what was her presentation on? Traffic safety in Josephine County. She has there's a website you can go to that'll show all the traffic accidents and stuff, and their severity, and it's all done by ODOT. I was really surprised that the few accidents, there was no pedestrian bicycle accidents on North 6th Street and North 7th Street. So I don't know where their justification is for the
improvements,
for the bump outs. Mm-hmm. I did talk to a guy from ODOT the other day at the Walden thing, before the Walden thing, and I didn't know he was from ODOT, and I said, we were talking about how dangerous 199 was. I said, well, I came in after that meeting the other night, the council, our WBS out there, and I said, there are sections of that road you can't see the road if somebody's coming towards you in the rain. It just goes away. There's no reflectors, there's no fog line, there's no reflectors on the side, no reflectors on the center line. Center line's gone. And I said, it's really tough to end it. And I said, rather than put the bump outs up there, they need to take that money and have a reflector program on 238 and 199 to replace that and mark that three times a year if you have to. I don't care.
Right.
But we've got to stop these head-on collisions
up there. That's
good advice. And the guy from old, I didn't know, he said, well, you know, we put reflectors out there, but, you know, the snow plows, because that's a snow area, our snow plows will just pop them up out of the pavement. I said, then dip them down in like they do on some of them. You get the little grinder and you put the reflector at the bottom. Well, you know, out there, you know, when it rains, those little pockets fill up with water. And I looked at it and he said, and Todd Moran was there. And he said, yeah, this is so-and-so from ODOT. And I said, good. I says, I tried to tell you what needs to be done, and you've given me every excuse in the world why it can't happen. Now, I'm going to tell you, do something. And I won't take no for an answer. I'm tired of excuses out of ODOT. I'm fed up with excuses out of ODOT. But anyway, we had a good conversation.
Good.
And I said, you've got two highways out there that are killing people, and you're worried about whether or not the little pockets are going to fill up with rain.
Right.
I'm not accepting that.
Well, that sounds like a good place to pick a battle.
Yep, it is. Prioritize your money. If you don't have enough money in your maintenance budget, for crying out loud, we're on the RV Act.
Yep.
So there is a safety committee for.
Sure, there's a committee. I get all the committees.
No.
Put 238 up there too.
Ivy, Kate Dwyer has a 199 safety meeting too.
She'd be a good advocate for out there because nobody knows better than the people that live in the valley.
Yep.
I'm just going to throw up. We kind of need to.
Fruitdale, yeah. So that was a project we shelved a couple of years ago.
Excellent. Memory of some things to throw up there.
ODOT.
Co-locate,
okay.
So that was one of the public works, building safety planning, and all that kind of stuff. Simon, I guess, had a meeting with the top of ODOT in Salem, who was on board, but trying to get something locally.
Matthew Garrett, maybe?
It was somebody up there. I just didn't know who it was.
Nice.
But I had been contacted by I'm trying to think. Executive session versus public session. That's my hesitation right now. There's still a possibility of us doing that project. And so kind of trying to make sure that try to find out what information I can to bring that back. So.
Sounds
all
great.
Right. Is there anything else for the good of the order?
No, ma'am.
Okay. If you guys hear of anybody that has done anything animal-related as far as volunteering or animal welfare kind of stuff, once a year we recognize somebody through the Carl Raskin Award. Mm-hmm. And it's time for nominations. And so nominations due by February 15th. So if anything comes up, it'd be a time to acknowledge them. So
very good.
All right. Seeing nothing further, we're adjourned at 10:13.